It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
That's right. We are live. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. We're in this league right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for listening in. We deeply appreciate it. Did you know the Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player? Did you know that, Bogman?
I think I did know that.
Oh, did you? Maybe you did. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going. Like right now, they get free entry, March Madness bracket, and a Sweet 16 bracket. And Fantasy Factor is running out $100,000 home run derby this year. Simply sign up and enter www.fantasyfactor.com. Go do it. We are back and we're talking fantasy football. We're just finishing up that conversation. You know, we're kind of talking about running backs in general. I think it's a fascinating debate. And I think Jerick McKinnon, ironically, not just because, I mean, there's probably a bit of like Niner homerism in me talking about it. But I truly think if you look at it, like we just kind of did this analysis, you look at the backs that move teams, most of these are very lateral moves. Jerick McKinnon is one of the few that jumped into a really positive role. There's a few players that are going to have some pluses, you know, like you kind of mentioned, like Joe Mixon is kind of a plus by the leaving.
Departure.
Yeah, the departure. There you go. That's a good word of Jeremy Hill. Rex Burkhead, I think, benefits from the departure of Deion Lewis. You know, I think he can.
Yeah, James White, too. But they also signed Jeremy Hill.
So yeah, they did sign Jeremy Hill.
It's
just a mess.
The Patriots again, who knows,
yeah.
Right?
Jonathan Stewart, that might be one of those. You know, he was getting kind of buried. That actually might be a good one. There's just very few that jumped into a really positive role. So I really like the debate that you guys can go find on my Twitter. Is it the Welsh I put out? Who would you rather have, Jerick McKinnon or Derrick Henry? And Jerick McKinnon is winning 59% in PPR right now. In favor of Jerick McKinnon. I think he's going to be one of those very popular mid-round running back twos that are going out there. But of the list of guys that have moved teams, Doug Martin to the Raiders, Carlos Hyde to the Browns, Lewis to Tennessee, Crowell to the Jets, Stewart to the Giants, Chris Ivory to the Bills, you got Jeremy Hill to the Patriots, LeGarrette Blount, he just signed with the Lions. What do you think? Who is, not counting McKinnon, who's one that you really like and you're probably going to be drafting? And who do you really not like on that move?
I tell you, I really don't like the, I really don't like Crowell to the Jets because I don't think it changes too much for him. So I think you're buying the same Crowell that you were buying for the Browns last year.
Maybe even a tad bit worse.
Yeah,
I mean
if Powell sticks around, right, and they have McGuire, and it's not out of the realm of possibility of the Jets to draft someone. So, I mean, I don't think they will having those three guys, but you just never know. And somebody could be on the chopping block. We'll see. To be honest, like right now, Jonathan Stewart to the Giants is the best move, but they're a lot like your Niners. I don't expect them to come out of the draft without getting someone else. Even though they took Gallman last year, I just don't know that. I don't know that they can afford to not take a running back. So
what
I mean, they have other needs. They need a lot of wide receiver or a lot of offensive line help. So.
What if I made you go Hyde versus Martin, assuming Lynch is gone?
Hyde.
It's just easy. You want no business with Doug Martin.
I do not want Doug Martin. I don't care how much John Gruden loves him. To be honest with you,
that Doug Martin man.
That Doug Martin, the biggest free agent we still have left is DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
So if he winds up signing with Seattle, I would take him over any of these. If he goes to the Colts, I would take him. Like, he's the best back left. Danny Woodhead for PPR is still available.
What if Murray goes to a spot where he's in a timeshare?
I'm just trying to think of where that would be.
Oh, my God. If Murray went to San Francisco, I'm jumping off the Golden Gate.
You know what would be good for him is Green Bay. Because, I mean, it would suck for Jamal Williams owners, but Green Bay could definitely use him, and he wouldn't have to carry the entire load like he's been with Tennessee for the last couple seasons. Even though they drafted Derrick Henry, they were still using a lot of DeMarco Murray, so he could share some of the work there. But are you talking about like he winds up in Carolina or something?
Yeah, well, I just meant like, I mean, McCaffrey. Indianapolis is a fantastic spot, of course, but I'm just saying like...
Denver would be nice.
Well, you know, Denver could be a one because they have been rumored to wanting to trade C.J. Anderson. So yeah. That could be one of those. But I just mean because you said like Murray is going to be like the number one guy for you off of the. Would Murray go ahead of McKinnon if he went to Indianapolis, let's say?
That's tough. I think in Indy he probably would, because I don't like Marlon Mack is the same. Like Marlon Mack is just kind of a bruiser.
Yeah.
So I think I would take him ahead of McKinnon, because I think you're still getting more DeMarco Murray touches in that offense.
So the running backs are really interesting, but they're almost trumped by the movement that happened with the wide receivers. There's so many.
Jeez,
the early ones, you know, Landry to the Browns, that's fantastic. Allen Robinson to the Bears. I mean, I think that's up for debate. Sammy Watkins to the Chiefs. Those are all interesting. The two most recent ones to me pop out. And both with a bit of controversy, because Jordy Nelson goes to the Oakland Raiders, which he goes with Gruden, Derek Carr. He's lined up with Amari Cooper. That's interesting. Which then ensued the Raiders to cutting Michael Crabtree. And then he goes to Baltimore. And then Baltimore is like, hey, Ryan Grant, you're walking with a limp. Denied. And they cut, and they avoid the contract that they signed with him, and then immediately sign Michael Crabtree, which is shady as hell. I don't care what they say. Ryan Grant's going to go. He already got, like, the next day after that happened, he already got, like, approved by a doctor that he is cleared to go. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, there's shenanigans strange there. So Crabtree to Baltimore, Jordy Nelson to Oakland. What stands out about those two moves?
The Crabtree move is fantastic for him, because he goes to Baltimore and immediately becomes a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, no doubt.
They have nobody. They cut Macklin. I mean, they were desperate to get a wide receiver. They added Macklin. Macklin's not ancient. He's 29. Just didn't work out. So they kick Macklin to the curb. They kick Grant to the curb. And now it's going to be, you know, Mike Wallace is a free agent too. So it is all
about
Michael Crabtree.
This year, Michael Crabtree or Jordy Nelson?
Crabtree, not close.
Oh, do you think Jordy done to you?
I think I don't know that he's done, but he's 100% a two behind Cooper. And why? I mean, what do the Raiders need more slow wide receivers? I mean, Cooper's already
very
fast.
But in theory, when Cooper wasn't just, you know, crapping all over your fantasy teams, in theory, the Raiders passed enough. Now, this could definitely change with Gruden, but they passed so much that both wide receivers were good enough to be wide receiver ones in PPR. Jordy Nelson, I mean, unless the game has passed him by, which is very well could have happened, he's kind of a game-changing wide receiver. So you don't think he could shine as a potential wide receiver one in Oakland?
I mean, there's absolutely a possibility that that happens, but I'm just, after the injury last year, he looked slow when he came back. I'm not on the Jordy Nelson hype train anymore. I think it's pretty easy Crabtree. I mean, I like that the Ravens also signed John Brown. I think he's, you know,
stretches
like
the field.
Their free agents are immediately their one and two. So they probably still need to draft somebody, because Chris Moore and Brashad Perriman are the three at this point. So
they probably
one
will.
Of them is the three. But they need to draft someone still. But I think Crabtree is just so far and away the best wide receiver in Baltimore that he's going to get a lot of looks.
So
more than Jordy Nelson.
So, I mean, there's a lot of other interesting moves. Danny Amendola to Miami, I think, is going to be a super sneaky one. Paul Richardson to Washington, I like those. But when you look at all these moves as a whole, a lot of them are positives. Am I off here that I see the Allen Robinson to Chicago one as a negative? I don't like it. And I think from a fantasy perspective, even though he goes to be a number one, I don't think it's, I wouldn't even call it a lateral move. I think it's a step down.
Well, I mean, I think you're more saying that you don't trust Trubisky than you don't trust Allen Robinson, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Chicago,
by the way,
even when they're not good, we've seen Alshon Jeffrey shine there. So it's possible. But yeah, what you said is about where I'm at.
And by the way, when we mentioned guys moving up, I mean, you said guys in the top 20, and I think Tyrod Taylor's the top 20. Look what they added in Chicago for Mitch Trubisky, man. They got Allen Robinson. They added Taylor Gabriel. They get Kevin White back. They might still wind up with Cameron Meredith because he's a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
And they have Tariq Cohen, who could, you know, kind of turn into a Tyreek Hill type of guy who can catch the ball, and Jordan Howard. That offense looks really good. And they signed Trey Burton, the tight end from Philly.
Yeah.
So
you don't see it as, is it lateral positive to you where I see it more negative?
I just think that, you know, how much less do you trust Trubisky than Blake Bortles? You know what I mean?
I guess. And I guess it was a volume thing in Jacksonville. Just, okay, like my initial reaction here, and there's a lot to be done. Michael Crabtree versus Allen Robinson this year. I kind of lean Crabtree.
I'm still going to take Robinson.
By a lot?
Like, I like Crabtree as a sneaky pick if they don't wind up making any other giant move,
well,
right?
Sure. If they brought
don't draft
in
Calvin Ridley or somebody like that.
Yeah, or they make a trade for, you know, some other big wide receiver, someone right. That's going to take away significant time.
Which
sure.
I think if they were going to do that, they probably would. So I think Crabtree's going to be a sneaky pick this year for sure. But Allen Robinson is too talented. I'm still going to take Allen Robinson.
Okay. I guess
and he's
I'm
younger.
Just, I'm overblowing.
You know, he is coming off the injury, but. Yeah, Allen Robinson is still going to be ranked fairly high. Well, let's take a look at where Jake had him in these super early season things here. He had Allen Robinson at 18 behind Larry Fitzgerald, Jarvis Landry, who just moved, and Alshon Jeffrey. And Crabtree was sitting at 26. So I think that's probably still about right as far as the gap now. Would you take Crabtree over? Like, I would go Crabtree over Juju. He has Juju ahead. I would take Crabtree over Demaryius Thomas, I think, at this point, over Marvin Jones. That's a good one. How about this one? Crabtree or Amari Cooper?
That is a good one.
Because Jordy takes a little bit away from Amari.
I'm leaning Crabtree.
I think I would, too. So now is where it gets dicey. Crabtree or Dez Bryant?
I'd still probably go. I go Dez.
Josh Gordon.
Ooh, you know me. Yeah. I think I might go Josh Gordon.
Landry's there too. So
it's really close. I mean, and that's the whole point. Is like Robinson is in this area with Crabtree, and you probably throw in, you know, like a Josh Gordon and a couple other players. You know, I mean, I think I still like Stephon Diggs, and honestly, the you know Thielen and Diggs are going to probably benefit from Kirk Cousins. To be honest with you.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I would probably go with Crabtree over Gordon, but I definitely take Dez ahead of him, and I'm still taking Allen Robinson. So I think that's kind of, you know, maybe not as far as I thought, maybe two or three picks away, but it's fairly close, but I'm still going to take Allen Robinson, even coming off the injury.
Any sneaky ones out of the wide receivers? Any sneaky move that you like from a fantasy perspective? Could be a Josh Brown. Paul Richardson seems to be one that I think that could be the guy that could maybe solidify himself, even though he's, who do you got? You got Crowder and you've got Doxson, but Richardson could come in and I think he could be the number one there.
They both just haven't proven anything, right? Crowder and Doxson haven't taken that step to where you go, oh, this is the number one wide receiver in this offense. And Paul Richardson is, you know, he was underrated and he was a bit buried in Seattle. So, you know, maybe you take a little bit less off or a little more off of the passing offense in Washington because it's Alex Smith instead of Kirk Cousins. So there's that. But I think Paul Richardson is a sneaky one and maybe Dante Moncrief to the Jaguars. You know, they lost Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee re-signed. So Dante
love
Moncrief.
Marquise Lee, by the way. Marquise Lee has been my guy, for a couple years now. I mean, and now he is just the dude. I mean, Allen Hurns is always a disaster. Moncrief, it'll just going to be like Moncrief and Hurns just battling for who can be more injured. And Marquise Lee is going to get his 10 catches a game.
Yeah, I don't think Marquise Lee was healthy the entire season either. Didn't he miss a couple games?
Yeah, I think he was banged up a whole bunch. But, you know, there's still a lot of other wide receivers. You said Cameron Meredith is out there, restricted free agent. Terrell Pryor, I think, is a really interesting one because of what a complete epic disaster bomb out he had. And there were rumors of a reuniting in Cleveland, but that's got to be over because they've got Landry, Gordon, and Coleman. And I think Jacksonville might have been one of them, but the 49ers as well, and then one other team are kicking the tires on Pryor. Man, if that guy could get it back together, that would be something.
Yeah, and I also like, you know, I still think Jordan Matthews, people are going to bury him. It's the overcorrection. Yeah, I like that because, the you know, both the Brown brothers are gone there, and here comes a potential number two next to Larry. Larry needs someone to separate him.
Yeah.
I mean, you think they go from wide receiver being a position of enormous depth to pretty thin at it. In a year's time, so
yeah. And then lastly, I thought this was just interesting. The Jimmy Graham stuff where he was clearly out in Seattle, and it looked like it was this like huge reunion in New Orleans. As Drew Brees was a free agent, he re-signed. There were some comments made about like him doing whatever he had to do. Then all of a sudden, Jimmy Graham signs with Green Bay.
I mean, this, like, if you're a Packers fan, you got to be happy because, you know, I know you don't want to miss, you're going to miss Jordy Nelson. He did a lot for Green Bay. He was very, very good. Won a Super Bowl there, all that stuff. But you get rid of an old guy and bring in, you know, bring in Jimmy Graham, tight end. I mean, Jimmy Graham's not a spring chicken or anything. He's 31 years old.
Where is he on your list? Where is he going to be as a tight end this year?
Ooh, fairly high, man.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, look. Aaron Rodgers loves a tight end. So.
Yeah, but when was the last time there was an elite tight end in Green Bay? Even though there's been guys, it never seems like they any come out because there's so many weapons.
2018.
Oh, okay, 2018. So, well, because they've got Cobb, and
you got to put them at least six. So Olsen, Ingram, Ertz, Kelsey, Gronk, all go ahead of him.
Yeah, well,
you can put all ahead of him. I think there's an argument to be had for Graham going ahead of Olsen at this point in their careers.
There's a debate. We'll get into that at some point. You know, actually, people, if you guys
know if
want,
I'd do it, but it's up for debate.
I'll
for
tell
sure.
You want that debate? You can check out Bogman, myself, and our friend Joe Pizzapia. As this coming week, we got a brand new show. It's called The Full 60, and it's airing on Fantrax. If you guys want to listen to it, a year-round football podcast. And it'll be myself, Pizzapia, and Bogman talking about all things football. So you're going to want to check it out over at Fantrax, The Full 60 Fantasy Football. But don't go anywhere because we're going to go of a full 120, I think, here for the next 2 hours on fantasy baseball, player debates, and a whole bunch more. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman the Welsh. We are in this league. We'll be back.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
In this league
is cooking.
Welcome back. We are the People's Show. The People's Champs. Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy baseball talk. Speaking of getting rocked, we're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani here. We're going to talk about The Rock. We'll talk about Ohtani. If you guys are looking for your draft prep, I know you are because your drafts are this weekend. Maybe they're tonight, tomorrow, next week. It is go time, and 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates should be your go-to guide. It is only $6.99, and you can get it on Amazon right now. You can just, you know, on your phone, you can click over. You can still listen to us as you go, and only a few clicks, you can own the book, where we have under 200 players that are debated with some of the industry's smartest minds judging the matches that Bogman and I have put together and put write-ups about. It'll help you critically think about where you want to draft and not let the clock, as the clock ticks down on your picks, you're going to be more prepared than you ever were. You can check out all the fantastic reviews we have on it on Amazon. So go pick it up today, $6.99, or you can get the PDF at inthisleague.com. You will be rocking with our book in seconds, and tweet us about it. We'll give you some love because we love seeing anything about that because we are egomaniacs, of course. In that book, we have three. Now, this is a very unique situation for a very unique player, Bogman. We dedicated three pages, three different debates to Shohei Ohtani, not just because of his uniqueness, but also because of Yahoo's ineptitude to be able to make the player functionally move from pitching to offense, like every other site could do. Didn't ESPN go around to it, or did they just commit to only pitch? Yeah, ESPN did it. CBS is doing it. Fantrax has been doing it since day one.
Everyone but Yahoo.
Everyone, and Yahoo even publicly made a statement like, be a lot of work. I don't know, time spent. We got time. We got to put money in other places. Like what? Clicking a button so you can set your stupid lineup for the week?
They're like, F you.
That's essentially
basically what they said. F you.
They just wanted no part of it. So because of all that, in the book, we dedicated 3 pages, and we had debates, one as Ohtani as a hitter, one of Ohtani as a pitcher, and this is against a pitcher, against a hitter, and then one Ohtani who is a hitter and a pitcher against maybe a guy in the general vicinity that people might be considering. Now, Ohtani has been a fascinating prospect, and you know, we're out here in Arizona, so you know, we have access to him, and I have actually, in a week span, I caught him DHing, and then I caught him pitching. I have both videos.
And then he caught you spying on him.
No.
And now you have a restraining order.
Believe me when I tell you this. There's no way you could ever, like, you know,
stand
like,
out to him.
Well, I mean, there are ways I definitely could because I'm very large and big. But what I'm getting at here is, like, when you're in the backfields out there in spring training, you can catch yourself with, like, you and like 4 other people with a player. Like I had Joey Votto and there's like a couple people, and you know, there's some like top prospects that you can sit there, like as near Eric Hosmer and stuff. And there's not that many people there. Shohei Ohtani is followed by this wave of 50 to 60 Japanese reporters at all times. When I went to the DH game everywhere, I went to a simulated game. The stadium was open. They did it in the stadium. There's no game happening there, but this simulated game versus Tijuana, which you can find the videos up on our YouTube, youtube.com/inthisleague. One is the hitting, one is the pitching. There are like 300 people there, and at least 50 of them were these Japanese reporters. He's being followed at all times. Now, Bogman, I was a pro Ohtani guy very, very early in the season.
Pro-Tani.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good term, Boggs. I was very pro-Tani.
I'm the guy that came up with MAGA also, so.
Oh, okay. Well, let's make Ohtani great again, if we could do that. Because at one time, just the prospects of getting 160 to 70, like, Yu Darvish-type innings out of him, while also maybe getting catcher-like stats from him. You know, maybe you get 250 to 300 at-bats, and you get 14 or 15 homers. Like, the value there is really hard to quantify, so he was worth the risk. After me seeing him hit and pitch, I had worries. After Friday, there are bigger worries.
Yeah, he got rocked. He got rocked. He gave up, what, 7 runs
like
in an inning and a third?
Like a hurricane. He gave up 2 homers in 1 inning to Ian Desmond.
Here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
Dude, Ian Desmond hit 2 homers in 1 inning, and Arenado hit a homer. Like, he got demolished, 7 runs, 1 1/3 inning against the Rockies. This is coming off of just everything falling apart in the B simulated game that I saw. He gave up, it's like 6 runs to the Tijuana somethings. It has not been going well. If I read this right, let's see. Ohtani has allowed 17 runs, 15 of which are earned on 18 hits in 8 1/3 innings. He's also struck out 19 and walked 3. He struck out 19 guys in 8 1/3 innings and given up 17 runs.
Now, all right. So it is spring training, right?
Sure.
And a lot of the times, spring training doesn't matter because it just doesn't matter. Like, a guy will give up, you know, exactly this, 17 runs, and then he'll go out on,
well,
you know, his first start, and then he'll, you know, go 7 innings and give up a run and strike out 9. So I don't know if that is going to be the case with Ohtani, because, and this has to make you nervous, because this is his first taste of big league hitting at all. So, you know, outside of the, you know, WBC. So I don't know. This makes me nervous, but I'm also nervous. I mean, I have 0 shares of Ohtani. You have any shares?
I got no shares so far. I mean, it's not for lack of trying.
Right.
And, well, you know, I've had opportunities where I've sat there and I said, "This I could take him here," and I've passed to see if I could get value on him. He's just not a player you're ever going to get the value on, because people are not going to wait on it one bit.
Right. So do you think that now, with this horrible spring training, that he is going to fall in drafts to a point where you go, okay, now I'm going to take him. But, I mean, are you? Because he's been so unbelievably bad that I don't know if he's going to be worth taking, or is this going to be a thing where, oh, you silly goose, he put up a 3.5 ERA and won 14 games in only 150 innings, you know?
I mean, it's all great questions. Okay,
we're kind of speechless here. I mean, it's difficult to know what to think because, you know, Ohtani is the player version of the humidor, right? We don't know what to expect from the humidor, but we know, you know, we know that it's going to be good for pitchers and bad for hitters. And, you know, Ohtani is supposed to be really good. And a lot of those Japanese stats transfer pretty well over the bigs, especially pitching. And I don't know. Like, he just looks so bad, it's hard to have any type of confidence in him.
Do you happen to recall what his ADP was sitting at recently? Because I'm looking at Fantasy Pros
right now. I looked over
the
last 3 weeks. He's at 72 overall.
Okay, so he's dropped down a tad bit then from there. On Fantasy Pros overall, he's 75. That is his overall ADP.
I'm looking at NFBC.
I see it, 72.
Yeah, since the 21st.
He's
so
going 81. What is this? 81 on ESPN. He's going 74 on CBS, 76 on Yahoo.
Why is he going higher in Yahoo when he's just a pitcher? He could just be more worth more as just a pitcher.
And how are they quantifying that? Is that only the pitcher that they're ranking? What about the hitter that they rank?
No,
that's
just the pitcher.
Two players is so stupid. It pisses me off even thinking about it. Dude, every time
but
I think
about it.
But look
at this minimum and maximum. And this is over the last 3 weeks. Well, look. 29 and 134.
Dude, I'm in a draft right now. It's a very cool draft. It's a bourbon league draft where we have the cash is essentially all designed for whiskey and bourbon, and those are the prizes. Like, first place gets like 8 bottles and all this weird stuff, and you know, it's whatever, the price is a little high and everything like that, but it's a super fun league. And I got a note before it started, and it was like, all right, everybody, when you draft Shohei Ohtani, you have to draft him in the second round, and then if he goes on the DL, you can cut him, but you have to put him on the DL. And just the whole process, I just get angry.
Move this man!
That's exactly right. You know why you ask what? Because there's nothing clear with Yahoo. Like, people have to make up their own rules. You have to make up your own rules to figure it out. So you have to, like, all huddle and be like, all right, how are we handling this? Where every other site, it's just like, you draft him, and what do I have to handle? Do I want him as a utility, or do I want him as a starting pitcher?
Let's get down to the nitty gritty on Ohtani. I want to ask you some Ohtani or this guy.
Great.
Are you ready?
Yeah. By the way, I'm our ITL Army. I do ranks. I'm officially making. I've been holding.
You're gonna
back.
Have to adjust.
Oh,
yeah.
I am. I've been holding back doing it. This latest blow up. To all the points you made, they're very, very fair points on spring training, and I agree. He's one of the few, though, that I got genuine concerns. I mean, he has been – a lot of good players have really given him fits, but he's going to be playing against those good players every single day. He's not going to get to play against, you know, the single A Lake Elsinore or whatever the hell it is. He's not going to get to play against those every day. So he's going to play against good players. I had held out this latest rocking from the Colorado Rockies.
I mean, the Rockies have a good lineup. So if you're going to get beat up against somebody, it's not a bad lineup to get beat up against.
Yeah, he's going down for me.
All right. So here's the guys he's going ahead of. Because I don't think, you know, the guys he's going below, you're not taking him over Quintana, Archer, Carlos. So that's not happening. He's going ahead of James Paxton.
Are you talking? Paxton. I'm sorry. Are you talking NFBC? Or are you looking
This is NFBC. He's the 23rd overall pitcher on NFBC. I'm taking Paxton.
Yeah, I think I'm still. I mean, we're getting into an interesting area. Because, see, here's the problem. I had him higher than you. So before, I might have been like, I would have taken Ohtani over Quintana from the movement. I'm not doing that now, but probably not. But the whole Quintana Paxton, that's an interesting area. But like I said before, more and more, Ohtani cannot be my second pitcher. So for that, I probably am taking Paxton and Quintana over him.
Garrett Cole.
I don't know, man. I guess I would take Cole. I guess.
Keuchel.
I guess. Every guy you're naming, I just don't want. Like, I do
Luis
want Paxton
Castillo.
And Quintana.
Luis Castillo is a big mover and shaker.
You know what? I'll still take Ohtani, probably.
I think I'm taking Castillo. I think between Ohtani and Tanaka, I'm going to take Ohtani, but that's where.
But see, I'm not as big as Luis Castillo as you are. Like, I know we had Spore on the podcast, and Spore, I think he might have made that exact analogy of taking Castillo over Ohtani. Here's what it's coming to. I just don't like, by the way, a lot of those guys, like I said, I'm probably not going to own, but I just don't, I don't think I'm going to find myself in the spot to take Ohtani unless he becomes the value. And to what you just made a point of, when he's around Paxton and Quintana, I'm not sure he feels like a value at that point. When he starts to get down in the Tanaka, Castillo, maybe Arrieta range, maybe he's starting to feel more like a value. And that's in the 80s, 90s. And I just don't think that's going to happen in any league.
Listen to how much sexier these hitters are around him. You know, going just ahead of him are Pollock, Davis, Billy Hamilton.
All of them.
And Whit Merrifield, Gene Segura. All those guys are going. And just below him are Murphy, who's falling because of the back injury. Bogarts, Kane, Justin Turner, Hosmer, Robbie Cano, Travis Shaw. Like all those. I feel like all of those hitters are so much more, even a guy like Billy Hamilton, they're so much safer to take than, and they all come with a little bit of warts. You know, they're not all fantastic, but they're all pretty damn good, and they all are much more of a sure thing than Shohei Ohtani.
Who would you rather? Would you rather have Ohtani or Cespedes?
Oh, man.
I know.
I mean, I'm a huge Cespedes apologist.
No way. No way.
But the wrist injury is just bothering me. So I.
It's Ohtani.
No, I think I'd still rather have Cespedes.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
And I don't blame you.
I mean, because if you look at the ceiling, there's still a ceiling with Ohtani. Listen, when I saw him in person, he's cracking the glove on his fastball. A couple guys are shaking their head at the stuff that he was throwing. There's no doubt about that. He's still got that, but the fastball is flattening out a little bit. His command is waning. Maybe there's a pressure thing to it. Maybe the bad results are kind of stacking up. You know, what I would love for the Angels to do, and there's not a lot of time to do it. What I would love for them to have done is get him out there for like one inning. I mean, he's got to be good for one inning. Get him out for one inning or two innings, and then get him, have good results and get him out. Build some confidence, because I think his confidence is down. He is his physical, like, he just kind of like mopes around when he gives up the hits, at least from what I saw. But there's still an upside because his off-speed stuff is insane. He needs to find his confidence and control back. When that happens, he is on that plane of Yu Darvish. He's got that Yu Darvish stuff. I've seen Darvish in person. He's comparable by all of the comps people have given. Yes. Now, the hitting, he's got good power. But I don't know what the hell he's doing at the plate. The swings, you can go look at the videos. The swings he was making.
There's scouts calling him a high school hitter.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to hit off. He's just looking fastball. And I'm like, why aren't they working with him? So it is coming down a bit on that. But if it does click, you know, the guy is talking at 80 grade speed and he's got some 60 grade power. You know, those are things that could play. You know, I saw Ralph Lifshitz. He made this comment, and he was talking about the great baseball invitational. Did I say it right? Justin Mason's
fantasy baseball invitational.
Yeah, Justin Mason's thing that we've all done, all the industry guys have done. And Ralph was commenting with Chris Blessing from Baseball HQ, and they were talking about their drafts. And he was talking about how, like, he went Ohtani in the fifth and Acuna in the sixth, which is, like, wild, dude. That's completely wild. But what he said was, I want to win it. I want to go home, or I want to win or go home. Like, I don't want to finish eighth. Like, that's not going to work for me. I'm going to go all out and try to win this sucker. A little bit of a different format, but the whole point is, like, you want to take the risk. He's worth that risk. You know, Ohtani is worth it. Could be worth it if he comes at a nice cost, which is majorly in question, but maybe it's the perfect time for it. I don't know. We got a whole bunch more that we're going to be covering here. Some spring training notes. A lot of minor leaguers were sent down. So how do you approach Willie Calhoun? How do you approach Francisco Mejia? Well, we'll talk about it when we get back. This is In This League. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. Go check us out at InThisLeague.com and the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Get those drafts ready. Don't get caught in the dark. We'll be right back.
Do it.
We'll be right back. Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
It's In This League.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for
In This League?
Answer me! Suck my white ass!
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Still my favorite. Shout out to Chris Pavona. Where are you now? Welcome back. The Welsh, Scott Bogman. InThisLeague.com. That's where you can check out all the stuff we got going on. We got ranks. We got podcasts. For all of your draft prep, I promise you, you're going to want to check it out. It's going to get you set up, and you can go check out the book, 99 Fantasy Baseball Players, Player Debates on Amazon, only $7. And if you guys want, you can check out the ITL Army. We have giveaways going on this month. We're giving away a watch from City Watch Co. We've got an autographed Vladimir Guerrero Jr. ball. We got a few other things. We're doing giveaways this month. We have GroupMe rooms, which you can join, secret comedy shows. We got a whole lot that's going down, so you guys are going to want to check it out, patreon.com/ITL Army. So this is a good Shohei Ohtani talk. I guess, you know, off-season-wise, you can never have enough of it because I've been getting a lot of questions. This is a dynasty question that was posed to me. Would you trade Ohtani? And then there were some prospects like Lewis Brinson, Austin Hayes. Let's just leave it there. Austin Hayes, Lewis Brinson, and Ohtani to get Paxton and Buxton. And I was like, yeah, I think you got to do that. Yeah, you got to do that move, unfortunately. But speaking of those prospects, that's the other kind of realm that we get twisted into for this kind of spring training here, and especially because there's values that are going on with them. So a lot of players have gotten huge buzz. Obviously, Ronald Acuna is all world. AJ Puck has been probably one of the biggest starting pitchers that have been talked about in a positive note. Guys like Nick Senzel, Willie Calhoun was sent down. There's a litany of these players that have had fantasy implications that I think people struggle with when they get sent down, or maybe they're still sitting in camp and people don't know what to do. So Bogman, I know you kind of wanted to hit on this, so let's talk about some of these minor league battles and how we draft them.
Yeah, I mean, you're the minor league guy, of course. Prospect One is your podcast that you do about all minor league baseball prospects. So I just wanted to go over some of these guys that have already been sent down and some of the guys that are still in camp and wonder what you think that they're, you know, should we be drafting them at this point, or are these guys going to be pickups? So, you know, I know it's not that simple all the time, but let's try to make it as simple as we can. So the first guy I want to talk about is Steven Gonsalves with the Twins. He has already been sent down from camp. What do you think about his outlook for the future in Minnesota? And do you think he's a guy that is definitely going to be up this year and have a spot?
I mean, definitely it's tough to say. I love Gonsalves. I got to meet him, talk with him 2 years ago in the Arizona Fall League. And he's one of those guys that, like, he's got stuff that isn't overpowering, but he makes it work. Like, he can rack up strikeouts, though he's not throwing 97 or anything like that. And he had a lot of injuries the prior year, and then last year he was still kind of going through it. I always kind of thought he was primed to come up, but I wouldn't call it a definitive by any means, because once Santana returns, you got Santana, Barrios, they signed Lance Lynn and Odorizzi just there. There's a small little contingency, this little group, this little Mad Max group of Kyle Gibson truthers that sit out there that truly believe.
They're called
the Twins. Yeah, well, no, there's a lot of these other, there's some fantasy guys that really believe Kyle Gibson is like the next thing. And then you throw out Adalberto Mejia. They've got Romero, who is a really interesting prospect. But Gonsalves is kind of the next guy to come up. I'd expect to see him, but he wouldn't be on my radar of pitchers. There are more top end. I would be focusing on the elite pitchers prospect wise if I was going to draft any, because I don't think he's going to be in a spot, especially because Minnesota's going to be, you know, vying for a run in the playoffs.
What about Gleyber Torres? Got sent down already. Huge prospect with the Cubs. Got moved to the Yankees in the Chapman deal. Looked like maybe second base was going to be open for him, but then the Yankees went ahead and signed Neil Walker and traded for Brandon Drury. So it's, you know, Andujar is still up, but what do you think about Torres?
I'm like bummed about that one because I am like one of the biggest Gleyber Torres like apologists, and there's a lot of video that was shared on Friday of he went oppo in a minor league game because he got sent down, and then he went oppo double. You know, he's just raking the ball. The guy is patient. He's going to be a high OBP guy. He was the youngest before Ronald Acuna this year, who won the MVP. Gleyber Torres was the youngest of all time to win the MVP in the AFL. He's just a polished hitter, and I really thought the Yankees were going to give him a shot. So the Neil Walker stuff was a bummer, but even more so if you look at them trading for Drury, there's no shot Torres is going to go to third with Andujar and Drury there.
Right.
Neil Walker, he's essentially he's stuck to injury. It's got Didi or Neil Walker have to get injured, and I don't see it happening. So I'm down. I think you could speculate at the end of the drafts, like especially if you're in a 10 or 12 man, and there's still a lot of good like bench players out there. I might speculate just in case some like wacko thing happens, like the Yankees cut Neil Walker, or you know, you never know, like some injury to Didi. I might be willing for my last couple round picks to keep taking these guys, but I wouldn't be holding out hope.
What about Willie Calhoun? Now, this is a guy who we expected to kind of make the roster out of camp, but I think they have a benefit of holding him out until, what did you say, May 2nd?
I think it's May 3rd. Yeah, May 3rd. Right. If they do that, they own one more year of service time is what they would do. So
it's worth it for them to do that. Is it worth it for us to go and draft Willie Calhoun?
Yeah, I think so. He is a trip, man. I went with my kid like last weekend. It was just before he got sent down, and he met Willie Calhoun, and like he is, it's one of those things where sometimes you meet these guys and it's just off-putting, you know, because body-wise Calhoun is not, it's not great. He's also kind of small. He's kind of boxy, to be honest with you. But
what are you trying to say?
I mean, I'm not saying I.
What are you saying about short, boxy, portly gentlemen?
I know. I mean, I don't know what his feelings on Peeps are, so I'm not 100% sure, but.
You should find out.
But the dude can hit. The dude can rake. He's a high average power type of guy. There's no doubt about it. The game that I was at, they actually put Willie in left field. But the problem is he's really going to probably be resigned to DH. But that's where they're going to get away with this, because they're going to say, we want to send you down to learn to play left, dude. Like, you got to play a position. You couldn't play second base. You got to learn to get into left field, and you got to get some reps. It would be a huge negative put him on that team and not give him the full rep. So they're going to send him down. It's probably more about service time. I think he'll be back up. He's absolutely worth one of those late round picks. If you have an NA, it's best, because you are going to have to eat it for a little bit. But unlike, you know, some dudes, he's going to come up and he's going to rake too.
Eloy Jimenez was pissed off about being sent down. He said, I deserve to be in the majors. And I don't know that I disagree with him. But obviously there's service time here, and he's not a guy, unlike Willie Calhoun, that we expected to make it up, you know, maybe even early this year. Maybe he was more of a back end of the season type of guy, if at all, for 2018. But he looked really good in spring training, and the White Sox outfield is kind of
it's gross, dude. Like their starters
Mickey
right
Del
now,
Monico.
Yeah, Delmonico and
Adam
like,
Engel.
Ugh. I mean, obviously
Charlie Tilson got sent down too, and Charlie Tilson for a while looked to be the leadoff hitter, but looks like it's going to be our boy Yoan Moncada now.
Yeah, Moncada now. They got a lot of flexibility in stuff that they can do. I mean, Davidson at DH, they could easily put him at third over Yalmar Sanchez if they want him there. He could go there. Eloy got to double A. I actually think it's a sneaky one if you had an NA spot, because I do think Eloy could come up around the July-ish area. Any sooner than that, I don't buy it. I do not buy it. But I could see him coming up around July, maybe August, maybe giving you a playoff run.
I could
run
see him coming up sooner than that, though. What if Nicky Delmonico hits 100? I mean, he's
what are the White
playing
Sox
well
playing
in spring.
What are the White Sox playing for?
Oh, well, they're not playing for much, but when is his service time thing? Does it really matter?
I'm not even 100% sure with him.
Right.
I don't know where that's at yet. But I mean, the dude only had a handful of at bats in Double A last year. Actually, we got a buddy who I think he might even work a little bit, or he had some buddies with that Winston-Salem one, and you know, he was only there for a short amount of time. So he's going to go to Double A. They'll probably do the Triple A thing, and then he'll come up. They have no reason to bring him up. Fantasy owners, I would love it. He's going to mash. He's a fantastic guy to have. He'll probably have a little bit of struggles, but he's one of those power guys that can hit for a ton of, you know, he's one of those power guys that can hit for average, which is a benefit. Kind of actually like Willie Calhoun, but, you know, obviously more athletic. I would love it, but I don't see him coming up before July. So if you draft him, expect that. And I do think it is possible this year. I think he comes up regardless because I think someone asked him, like, are you ready for the majors? And he said, see. Like, he's pissed. You're right. He is pissed. He wants to be up. So I think he will not be held down. And they'll want to get, you know, some time kind of working in the outfield. But I don't see it anytime soon.
And the guy that's going to come up before him anyway is Charlie Tilson, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
I think he'll come up at some point.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
year.
Tilson's just not like... He's not anything to scream home about. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Weird.
You are
like,
right.
I kind of thought that if he was going to wind up hitting leadoff, that would have been a nice, sneaky, late dude in like super deep
maybe.
League to take.
Yeah, maybe.
But he's not even going to start the year, so we don't know about him. What about Francisco Mejia?
I mean, I've been sending out warning signs about him for, I don't know, man, 6 months, if you've been listening to Prospect One. And I got some accolades for it, actually. Some people were tweeting about it because I just always said I just worried about him. You know, he's not a counting stats guy. The dude can rake. He can hit. He's going to hit for some power. He's super small, though. But I just don't think he's going to be a catcher. You know, the Indians are doing this bit where they're
can
like.
Can you compare him to DJ LeMahieu?
I think that was the comparison. Like a DJ LeMahieu, right. That statistically. But the only problem is he doesn't have a spot. Like the Indians are doing this bit where they're like, yeah, he's our catcher, but like we want to find out what flexibility is. Yet he never I did see him catch in spring training, but all they do is work him in other places. They worked him at third in AFL. That did not work. They're now testing him in the outfield to see if he can play in the outfield. They want to get his bat in, but he's just not going to be a catcher.
Kind of like Willie Calhoun, where he just doesn't have a spot.
100%. I just think this year it's a mixed bag that I don't want any part of until they find a home for him. Next year, sure. But guess what? Probably not going to have catcher eligibility. His value goes way, way down. I don't need any shares. If he's there, dude will hit. He's worth a pickup for sure. And he'll qualify at catcher if he's getting full-time at-bats.
What about Walker Buehler, Texas Ranger, but actually Los Angeles Dodger?
Love him more than life itself. But I don't know where it's going to go. You know, I mean, all he does is strike out guys.
Hyun-Jin Ryu?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to take him late in a draft to put in an NA spot, but he's going to be limited. He's still like 18 months removed from recovery of Tommy John. Last year, he was kind of babied in. He will be a starter this year, but I think his innings will be limited. So, like, if he gets, like, 80 innings in the minors, I just don't see him getting a ton in the majors. It's more of a next year thing, but I do love him.
So we're definitely not drafting him because if you do, like, he's probably going to wind up being a bullpen guy if he comes up to the majors this season.
No, see, that was last year. They did. Dave Roberts even said it earlier that, like, if Walker comes up, he's to be a starter. So I think he will start. But I'll tell you, the guy that we have in the still-in-camp conversation, that's the guy that I want over Walker Buehler. And frankly, I'd rather have Kopech. Even though I like Buehler right in the same range, I'd rather have Kopech coming up this year over Buehler right now.
Last two here, and we'll kind of put them together before the still-in-camp guys. Willy Adames and Austin Meadows.
Meadows will be up. Adames might be up. The Rays have no reason to bring him up. They've got just weird dudes sitting all around there. If Adames comes up, it's probably like August, September, so I'm not going to hold right now. Meadows could, but he's kind of blocked, but I definitely think he's going to get time this year. I'm just not interested in either one for fantasy draft. I mean, like a 20-man or something like that. I think everybody we've talked about has some intrinsic value.
All right, so some of the guys that are still in camp here, and I'll just burn through these guys, and then you can talk about them. I think Kopech is still in camp. You already mentioned him a little bit. Ronald Acuna, Nick Senzo, Miguel Andujar, and A.J. Puck.
So, I love all these guys. A.J. Puck was the one I was referring to. I have been drafting A.J. Puck all over the place. Bob Melvin, even when asked, you know, hey, could he have the opening day roster? Could Puck, because of how he's pitching? And Melvin was like, maybe. It's possible. Puck is he's a college pitcher at Florida. He's just destroying everything. And he's a guy I'm drafting all over the place for sure. Andujar, I still love, but it's questionable if he's going to get the gig. Nick Senzel, he's the one guy. Him and maybe Kyle Tucker, to be honest with you. I think they're in the same range, but Senzel more. Those are guys that I draft knowing I'm not getting till June, and I'm still taking them. Like, you got to take them, because when Senzel comes up, he is going to be special. He is something else, dude. Even though the stupid Reds just signed Eugenio Suarez to a 6-year contract.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think Suarez can play different positions, and to be honest with you, I feel like that means that Nick Senzel is coming up to play short.
100%. No, he's going to be a shortstop. That is where he's going to go. So he'll be a shortstop, which is even better, very much in that like Alex Bregman range. So I want him, especially if you have an NA spot. It's tough to hold on to him for the whole season. If not, he's the guy that is in that range. But the biggest name of all of them, that's Acuña. Acuña is just flipping destroyed the minors. He is going to be he's going to be this year's conversation piece, why everyone's pissed off about, you know, the service time thing, because I suspect the Braves are going to send him down for about a week, 2 weeks. April 13th, I think, is when the service time clicks through, and that guy is going to just go at it. And we talked about it with Spore about where do you take him. I think Spore had him like as like a 40th outfielder. I think I had him as a 28th outfielder. You got to take him between 90 and 100 if you want him, and the cost is only rising coming into these draft weekends because of what he's doing.
Crushing it in spring. So. Yeah.
But he's the guy.
The buzz is all around him, and I think out of anybody, he's definitely the guy. But so real quick, draftable guys: Acuña, Senzel, Puck.
Yep, those are that,
Kopech maybe.
Kopech maybe. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else in my brain. I mean, obviously Otani is sitting in there. Yeah. I think Kyle Tucker.
I even count Otani as a prospect.
I would say Senzel. Oh, Scott Kingery. That's a major one that's missed on this list. Major one that's missed on this list. They've been playing him at third. He could definitely take over for Mikel Franco when Mikel Franco just completely bottoms out. So I would say Kingery, Senzel, Acuña, and Puck. Those would be my minor league targets that I would be drafting more so than anybody else. And then, you know, there's a little list of like maybe Kyle Tucker, Eloy Jimenez, definitely Willie Calhoun is another one I would probably draft and get ahead of the rest of the game. Bogman, that's not it. That's not it for fantasy baseball. We have a whole another hour, and we are going to player debate it. We put out some tweets. We got some major battles. We're going to settle some of those for your drafts that are coming up. So don't go anywhere. This is In This League. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. We'll be back.